Let's read together Psalms 3 and 4. In both of these Psalms, David calls on God for help from distress, and he finds comfort in the fact that God hears and cares. He finds such comfort and courage in the Lord that he can sleep in peace. Let's begin by reading Psalm 3. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Selah. Let's consider some background notes for Psalm 3. We see from the title of this psalm that it was written by David on the occasion of his fleeing from his son Absalom. This was when Absalom usurped the throne, and you can read about this time in David's life in 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18. I'm reading from 2 Samuel chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. After this had happened, that Absalom provided himself with chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now Absalom would rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. So it was, whenever anyone had a lawsuit, came to the king for a decision, that Absalom would call to him and say, "What city are you from?" And he would say, "Your servant is from such and such a tribe of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your case is good and right, but there is no deputy of the king to hear you." Verse 6, in this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Verse 13, now a messenger came to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom." So David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, or we shall not escape from Absalom." From 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 through 14. So David and his company fled from Jerusalem down through the Judean wilderness and across the Jordan River. Here they waited and prepared for Absalom's army to come and attack them. It was probably during this time that David wrote this psalm. Now, one more background note from Psalm 3. The term Selah is used three times in this psalm, at the end of verse 2, at the end of verse 4, and at the end of verse 8. Selah is a technical term used 71 times in the Psalms and probably means to pause and reflect on what's been written and may be an indication of an interlude when the psalm was sung or put to music. Now, there are some other suggestions that have been given for the exact meaning of Selah. Now, our doctrinal point for Psalm 3 is as follows. Believers can sleep in peace because the Lord is their shield. Believers can sleep in peace because the Lord is their shield. Verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me. And verse 5, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. David was able to sleep in peace in the midst of opposition and in the midst of overwhelming odds because he knew that the Lord was his shield and protection. We see in verse 1 that the opposition was the threat of increasing adversaries as Absalom gathered all Israel against David. Verse 1, Lord, how they have increased to trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. In verse 2, we see that David was taunted as well as threatened. Verse 2, many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. In other words, they were saying that God was not on David's side any longer. Otherwise, this would not be happening to him. Now, does this sound familiar? How often people say this today about Christians when something unfortunate takes place in that Christian's life? Now, what do you do when this happens to you? And it will. you turn to the Lord as your shield of protection. Not only was David facing threats and taunts, but literally thousands of people under Absalom were coming to surround him. Verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. But David was able to sleep in peace because the Lord was his shield and the Lord did protect him. Read 2 Samuel chapter 18 and see how God gave David the victory. I'm reading from 2 Samuel chapter 18, beginning at verse 6. So the people went out into the field of battle against Israel, and the battle was in the woods of Ephraim. The people of Israel were overthrown before the servants of David, and a great slaughter of 20,000 took place there that day, for the battle there was scattered over the face of the whole countryside. And the woods devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. From 2 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 through 8. David looked to the Lord as his shield of protection, and so should we. Believers can sleep in peace because the Lord is their shield. Practical application from Psalm 3. Let the Lord take revenge. Let the Lord take revenge. Verse 7. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. This is strong and bold language, but it emphasizes that David is confident that the Lord will deal with the enemy so completely that he can let the Lord take revenge while he sleeps in peace. Salvation and deliverance belong to the Lord, not us. Verse 8. Romans 12:19 says that we should never take our own revenge because vengeance belongs to the Lord. He will repay the opposition and bring blessing to us, as verse 8 here says. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people, Selah. Let the Lord take revenge. Let's continue by reading Psalm 4. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood, Selah? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Selah, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 4. We see from the title of this psalm that David was also the author of this psalm. Furthermore, we see that the title contains a direction for the choir director. When this psalm was put to music, stringed instruments were to be used, and not loud trumpets and cymbals, for example. Again, we see that two selahs are contained in this psalm, at the end of verse 2 and at the end of verse 4. They not only mean pause and reflect, but they are probably indicators of musical interludes that were to be inserted when the stringed instruments were playing. Psalm 4, like Psalm 3, is an individual lament psalm where David is calling on the Lord for help from distress, as we see in verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Now, Bible students have recognized that Psalms 3 and 4 are closely related in both content and structure. And many believe that both of these Psalms were written on the same occasion when David was fleeing from Absalom and from those of Israel that had joined Absalom in his rebellion. If so, then verses 2 through 5, which are addressed to the opposition, make complete sense. Notice that the opposition addressed here is not some outside pagan nation that was attacking David and the kingdom of Israel. No, it seems that the opposition here is from within the kingdom. And David in the psalm is exhorting them to change their ways and change their minds about him and realize that he and not Absalom is God's anointed king. Verses 2 and 3. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. So he exhorts those of the opposition to stop sinning and be angry for righteous causes, as we see in verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. This verse, by the way, is quoted in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. He encourages those of the opposition to be still and to think it through as they lie on their beds, verse 4, and then turn back to the Lord and offer sacrifices of righteousness, verse 5. Let's read those verses. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your hearts on your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Verses 4 and 5. Our doctrinal point for Psalm 4 is as follows. Believers can sleep in peace because the Lord is their security. Believers can sleep in peace because the Lord is their security. Verse 8. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Once again, we see that David was able to sleep in the midst of opposition. Why? Because the Lord was his security. We see in verse 6 that even those who were with David and for David were complaining and saying discouraging things such as, no one will help us. You see that in verse 6? There are many who say, who will show us any good? Do you have any friends like that? They always picture the worst scenario. When will they learn to turn their eyes away from themselves and the opposition and look to the Lord alone for security? Then they could sleep in peace. Believers can sleep in peace because the Lord is their security. What about practical application from Psalm 4? Give me God's gladness over grain. Give me God's gladness over grain. David says in verse 7, you have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. Can we say that? David's point was that the gladness and joy he experienced from the Lord, even in the midst of opposition, was greater and better than the gladness one experienced after a great harvest of grain and vintage of wine. And that meant prosperity and money in your bank account. Now let me ask you, if you had your choice, what would you take? God's gladness in your heart or the thrill of becoming wealthy? And let's say you can only have one, not both. God's gladness or wealth. Are you able to say right now, give me God's gladness over grain?